Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been trying to share Jesus ever since. Friends, listen, if you're a born-again believer, you should be telling others what Jesus means to you. The world needs to know it. The world is in darkness. Christ is the light of the world, and He is the one that we need to tell in the world about. Even our churches today are backing off. They're compromising and compromising with the world. And that's why there's no power in our churches today. Well, listen, friends, I want you to continue to pray for my wife and I's health. We're getting better, slow but sure. Anyway, I want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee or a lemonade, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? The thought for the day, no one can become a Christian on his own terms. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Colossians, the first chapter, and let's begin reading with the 9th verse. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good works and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness. We've labeled this how to pray for those that we love. Paul's deepest love was for the Colossian Christians. Oh, he felt close to them even from a distance. And he rejoiced in their faith, hope, and love. Now, Paul shares his prayer for those whom he loved. It's easy to say, I'll be praying for you. But Paul was specific, telling them how he prayed. You know, friends, we've all been guilty of this. If you're a Christian, whether you're a Christian or not, you've had people say, well, you pray for me, will you? Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then you don't do it. That's wrong. When someone asks you to pray for them, do it. And many times, and I, ever Christian listening to this broadcast, would tell you the same thing. Every one of us have been awakened at night, in the middle of the night, and we just all of a sudden had to pray for this particular person or someone or a loved one. Well, that's God's Holy Spirit getting us to do our jobs. Now, Paul prayed that they would know God's will. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Friends, I'll tell you this for sure. The smartest people in the world are those Christians who seek God's divine will. Now, I've told you many, many, many times, after I was saved, I thought I died and went to heaven. I was so happy because I'd found a peace that I'd never had before. He took hate out of my heart for my enemies and my stepmother. But you know what? I never dreamed that God was going to call me to be a preacher. If I'd have known that, it probably scared me to death. But you know, to know God's will, what does God want for your life tonight? I can assure you, if you're a born-again person, He desires you to be a witness and a soul winner. That's the first and most important thing that you'll ever do for the Lord. I can't repay the Lord for what He did for me. You can't repay Him. Money won't buy it. But by sharing Christ, you're letting Him know that you love Him and you're grateful for what He has. Filled with the knowledge of His will. You see how important prayer was to Paul. He could have prayed that they would not be persecuted, and he could have prayed that they would prosper. Also, could he have prayed that they could gain political power? But, beloved, knowing God's will was more important than all of these. With what knowledge are you filled? The knowledge of the world's conditions or the knowledge of everything in the world of sports? The knowledge of how to succeed in business, or the knowledge that brings academic recognition? Are you filled with the knowledge of God's will? Paul prayed that they would know how to walk, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good works, and increasing in the knowledge of God, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. I knew a man, in fact, I helped train him in lay evangelism. He was an outstanding young man. I was so proud to work with him, and he'd become a good speaker. Well, he used to say, now, you've got to walk your talk. Well, something happened in his life. And he turned against the Lord. He turned against us, all of us. I wrote him a letter. I said, dear brother, you know, you ought to walk your talk. He would never talk to me again on the phone. Never talk to me again. See, spiritual understanding teaches us how to walk worthy of the Lord. Now, we gain spiritual understanding through prayer. Oh, my stars, I'm telling you, prayer is the most important thing we have in our arsenal today. You know, they tell our kids they can't pray in school. You can't stop me from praying. You can't stop a man or a woman from praying. You don't have to shut your eyes. You don't have to wiggle your lips. But you can talk to the Lord, and that's what we need to do. We need, listen, you know what, friends? There would be so many less divorces today if people would discuss their problems with the Lord. Now, anybody who's been married for many years, and my wife and I have been married for 62 years, knows that marriage is not easy. No, it's not. If you say it is, you're dingy. It's not easy. My wife and I are as different as two peas in a pod. Things she likes, I don't like. The things I like, she don't like. It's amazing. It's amazing. But we need to pray about every decision. You know what? You need to pray who you marry. You need to pray about your job. You need to pray about training your children, where they should go to school or college if they go. And again, we gain spiritual understanding through Bible study. You know, there's a bunch of gals there in the Dalles, Oregon. And I have seen miracles come through that group of ladies. Hey, do you know what? They're prayer warriors. Shoot, if I have any need or something, I get on the phone and I call them and they pray for us. They sure do. And they are growing like a weed. We gain spiritual understanding through worship. Now you say, well, now wait a minute, Cecil. Do you have to worship the Lord in church? You better worship him out of the side of the church as well as inside of the church. Yes, sirree. We ought to live in an attitude of prayer. I was telling someone the other day, you can drive down the road and pray. I do all the time, but for heaven's sakes, don't close your eyes. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. Now, what is meant by walking worthy of the Lord? Well, first, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Hey, we're all human. Yes, we are. Don't you tell me you're not human. But you know, it's so easy to let your mind wander. You got to be careful. Walk in the Spirit. Now, the Bible says that the day you and I become Christians, when we repented of our sins and invited Christ into our hearts, the Holy Spirit comes in immediately. No, I know there's religions that say you got to pray for to be filled with the Holy Ghost and you got to do this. No, you don't. Now, we need to pray daily to be filled. Oh, yeah, because it's a refilling, filling, filling, and refilling all the time. But you have the Holy Spirit the day that you give your heart to Jesus. Absolutely. Don't let anyone ever tell you any different. Well, it is to walk in love. And I read in Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It is to walk as children of light. You know what? I used to, when I was a little boy, my mama used to read the Bible to me and my sister. We had one of the great big old family Bibles. I have it right here in my studio. And I want you to know, my mom would read the Bible to us, and you know, and John, he talks about being little children. Well, if we're born again, we are the children of light. We are children. And I used to love to look at that picture when Jesus was standing there holding that little lamb in his arms. I just loved that picture. It was such a warm feeling to know, and it's a warm feeling to know that God loves you now. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, or loved you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, let's go over that again. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye children of light. Oh, dear friends, I want you to know the world is in darkness. You know, I'm sure every one of us, I'm very sure that every one of us have... Just a second. Do you know what I just got? What did I just get? All right, I'll tell you. I just got a senior deal. I just got a senior flash. Forgot what I was going to say. Can you believe that? Hey, that used to happen all the time in prison. We'd go to prisons. Oh, we had about 10 prisons that we serviced, my quartet, my wife and I. And I'd go down there and I'd be preaching away and all of a sudden I'd lose my train of thought and I'd say to the quartet or my wife, what was I talking about? And they'd say, oh, yeah. So I'd go on. Or I might say, well, that isn't that important. That isn't that important. Well, when we walk worthy of the Lord, we become fruitful in His work. Friends, I know you get tired of me asking you this question, but have you led a soul to Christ this year? Have you witnessed to anybody this year? Just a little witness. You don't have to give them the whole Bible, but you can tell them what the Lord's done for you. Hey, listen. This should be the greatest soul-winning year we Christians have experienced in years. Why? Because our country is in shambles. We have the most corrupt government in the world. You can't believe anybody. I've been listening to these campaign ads, and they're liars out of hell. And you say, what are we supposed to do? Well, we need to pray and ask the Lord for leadership. I've asked every one of you to pray that this next week. And I'm not going to tell you who to pray for because that's not my business. My business is to ask you to pray because if we pray, as Christians pray especially, this world can be turned around. Oh, but yes, it can. See, our government, many people in our government try to run God out of our country. The Bible said the country that forgets God shall surely fail or perish. Well, Paul prayed that they would know God well. Verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What does that mean? Well, just what it says. The more you read of God's unerring word, the more you can increase your knowledge of God. Draw close to the Lord. Live in an attitude of prayer. Not just knowing about God, because I did do that. When I was an alcoholic, I knew there was a God in heaven. And I really thought my prayers were being answered. Every time we'd get into battle or making an invasion, I'd pray that God let us live, and we did. And I just thought He was hearing my prayer. You know what He wanted to hear from this guy? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what he wanted to hear. You say, well, Cecil, I'm going through so many things, you just don't know what I'm going through. But God knows. Now, this might be the way that He's drawing you to Him. You've heard me say this. Do you feel a little tugging at your heart? Well, when the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart, you know something's different. You sure will. Some people cry. Oh, yeah, some people would just cry and sob and stuff. I cried like a baby the morning I was saved because I'd my whole life, 30 years, was wasted. And my stepmother, I couldn't forgive her because she had given her abuse to me. I couldn't forgive her. Without the Lord, I would have never been able to forgive her. And without the Lord, I would have never been able to quit drinking. I've heard people say, well, I'll tell you something, Mo. I quit drinking and I ain't no Christian. Well, tell you what I can tell you on that. You might as well keep on drinking. because you're going to go to hell. You're going to be the worst condition you've ever spent in your life. I say, preachers say, oh, come on, you don't believe there's a burning hell. Oh, beloved, oh, yes, there is. Christ died so that you and I could live. Live forever, eternal life, time without end. I can't envision that. My mind is too small to understand that. But there is a mansion up yonder for you and for me. Boy, is there a mansion. Don't understand it. Streets are paved with gold. People kill for gold down here. But up there it's going to be gravel. Sure enough. Well, it means knowing God more intimately. And you know what, friends? There's a song my quartet used to sing. Do you know about him or do you know him? Now, some of you right tonight might just, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Some of you might be agnostic and say, well, okay, there's a God, so what? But I'm telling you to know him personally. And that's what you have to do. You have to know him personally. Well, I'm going to ask you, this is what Paul was seeking for himself in Philippians 3:7-14. But what things were gained to me that I counted loss for Christ? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death, conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Whew. Knowing God should be our goal. But I ask you, how well do you know him? How do you pray for those whom you love? Do your prayers center only on temporary things? Let's pray about how our loved ones walk with God. I prayed for my baby brother for 23 years and my older brother for 26 years before they both trusted Jesus. Don't ever give up. You see, my children are out in the world or doing drugs or drinking. Pray for them. The Bible said, train up a child the way he should go, and when he gets old, he'll not depart. Now, my children have not always done what I've asked them to do, and I'm sure that they've suffered for that. Friends, it's not good to get out of the will of God. Oh, man. You can sure get yourself in a lot of trouble. And you know what? Beloved, God's not sitting up in heaven with a baseball bat getting ready to pop you up alongside the head every time you make a mistake. No, he's not. He says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll tell you something else. He says that if we'll confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins. Friends, you got a little tugging at your heart tonight? Do you feel in your heart that you've not done what God wanted you to do? You haven't trusted his son. And it's all out there. He's still waiting for you. I can see him now with his outstretched arms. and say, "Dear son, dear daughter, come to me. I know you're brokenhearted. I know you've had heartaches, but I can take care of them. I did it on the cross of Calvary." If you got that tugging at your heart tonight, you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray the most powerful prayer known unto man, and that's this: "Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh God, I've lived a miserable life, and I'm so tired of what I've done. Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone, call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. Won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call me collect. I'll accept the charge. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Continue to pray for me and my wife, and continue to pray for a revival to sweep through America, through the world. Oh, we're living in troubled times, but we're living in good times, in that we, as Christians, have a message to tell the world that Christ loves them and died for them. Well, friends, I got a special friend I want you to pray for. His name is Tim Campbell. He's having some real problems. He fell out of the barn and broke his collarbones. Then I want you to pray for my son-in-law, Ralph Moxley. He's had two hip operations, and I'm telling you, he's really going through it. Pray that God will give him the strength. He does all the buying for the electricity that comes into Colorado. He's got a very important job, and he needs to get back on the job, so please pray for him. Well, friend, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.